Yes, thank you, John Lennon, Paul McCartney. So if you don't know who sang that, how many of you don't know who sang that song? Raise your hand. That's by a group called The Beatles. Yes. And if you're a young person today and you weren't around for The Beatles, and let's just say this. If you were to combine, Michael Jackson, Garth Brooks, Carrie Underwood, Taylor Swift, George Strait, If you combine them all, you would not have the impact on the world that these four young men had back in the 60s. And Beatlemania is what it was called, and it took the entire world by storm, and their unrivaled popularity lasted until they split up in 1970, so it really wasn't very long of a span, and it still goes on today. So you think, more popular than Taylor Swift? Garth Brooks? Really? More popular than them? Well, the Fab Four, as they were called, went on a world tour in 1964, and this is just an example. They showed up in Australia, and when they showed up in Australia, the estimates were over 250,000 people that showed up along the streets to welcome the Beatles. And so it was something that the world had never seen and has not seen since, may never see again. This was without the help of social media. There was no YouTube. There was no internet. And this happened throughout the whole world. They sold 1.6 billion singles with a B. Singles. Well, I guess they still have singles today. They used to sell these 45 records. I had many. Yes. You know how they used to stack them up on that thing and then it would drop too many at a time? You'd be, what? Okay, anyway. Aging myself. 600 million albums. 600 million. And as for their enduring popularity, in the year 2000, they came out with an album called One, which was, they put their number one hits on it. And it sold 11 million copies 30 years after they broke up. And it was the highest selling album for the next 10 years. This was 30 years after they broke up. No other artist is even close when it comes to all-time record sales. Go ahead and look it up. You would think that a guy like John Lennon, who wrote most of that song, he and Paul McCartney wrote many, many songs together. You would think, after achieving the greatest fame of anyone, of rich beyond their wildest dreams, that they would feel like they were on top of the world. Well, when John Lennon wrote this song, he was personally crying out for help. And if you listen to the lyrics from that vantage point, that is exactly what was happening. And of course, his problems, they were unique in that only three other people could relate. Maybe one other person, that would be Elvis. But, you had John, Paul, George, and Ringo. But the entire world was watching their every move. Adoration was on a scale that the world had never seen. And you can imagine the pressure that was put on John Lennon as he wrote this song as a cry for literal help. And the first lyrics are this: when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. You guys could probably say this with me. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and I've opened up the door. So what, may you ask, does this have to do with me? Well, we may not have millions of adoring fans. We may not have paparazzi showing up at our doorstep, catching us as we get right out of bed. That's what they do to these people, you know. They find them in the worst possible light they can find them, and then they take these pictures. We don't have that. Now, Pastor Tim's back next week, and if you haven't been around him, he's pretty popular, so he might have some of these problems. But the feelings that John Lennon had of insecurity and just needing help in different areas of life is something that we can all relate to. And there's a time that we each need help from somebody else. But having the opportunity to actually help other people is one of the real keys to the Christian life. So we need to help each other. Serve each other is another term. And the Bible says that we're to do this with gladness. And is it possible to serve the Lord, to help each other with gladness and it not be a burden? Is it possible? Yes. Absolutely yes. So I'd like to review quickly from part one of Heart for the House. And by house, I'm referring to the church, okay? Heart for the House. This was a message from 2 weeks ago. And our theme scripture was Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So David is expressing his heartfelt desire to be in the Lord's presence, okay? And Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, amen, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we learned a couple of weeks ago, maybe a little different way of looking at it, that we, the church, are considered the bride of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, we need to speak well of the church, okay? Because the heart of Jesus is with the church. A heart for the house translates into a heartfelt commitment for seven things. I'm going to go through them quickly. To support and love one another. That's you and me, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you say amen to that? Yes, yeah, support and love one another through it all. Number two is to worship together, as we are just doing. To be taught the word of God by the pastors and the leaders, to support the church financially, as we just did, to serve where I'm needed and where my giftings lie, and to share the gospel of Christ as a united community, and to do life together. Now this week, I want to talk about the fifth point, and the fifth point is to serve where I'm needed and where my giftings lie. So we're going to talk about serving or helping one another. That's what I want to talk about today. And when we have a heart for the house, then we're going to have a heart to serve or to help other people. And because like John Lennon, there are a lot of people that are crying help in this world. There really are. And there are many scriptures that speak about this, so I want to go through a few. And before I get too far, randomly say that my daughter and son-in-law are here today. So I just want to recognize them, Alyssa and Brian, and our two grandkids, Jonathan and Charlie, who are a big-time crack-up. Okay. All you grandparents, say amen. Amen. Yeah, I know. You try to tell somebody else something they say, and they kind of give you that funny stare, and you go, yeah, 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 whatever, but they are funny. Okay, just trust me. All right, so I'm going to talk about scriptures here about serving. So we have Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be your servant. So this is Jesus speaking, and so the greatest among you will be your servant. Think about it. That's not what you hear in this world today. The greatest people are those that accomplish the most. They're the ones that get all the pub, okay? I stand up front. So I got some pub today. Well, if you were up here, you'd get the pub today. You know, it's just the way things work sometimes. But the greatest, it says, will be your servant. And I guess that means that Jesus feels that we need to help each other out. Okay. Mark 10:45 says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Even Jesus. Yeah. The greatest example came to serve. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So each of you, that's all of us, have gifts from the Lord. You all can do something, really. You've all got gifts. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit deeper here in a minute. We're all to serve. We're all to help in the church, to use our gifts. And when I say use our gifts, look at it this way. How God wired you. How God created you with your personality, with the things that you can do that maybe other people aren't good at. And it can be all kinds of different things that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. So it's how God wired you. So that means that all of you that are within the sound of my voice are included in this conversation. Okay. So according to these prior scriptures, having a servant's attitude is fundamental to being a Christ follower. And so for most of us, it's something that we have to consciously cultivate. So becoming a servant, somebody who thinks about helping other people, some people think of it fairly naturally, but I'd say you are in the minority. The rest of us have to cultivate it. You have to consciously think about that. And so that's something we're going to do. That's something that each of us individual that we're going to do as Christ followers. So when Christ comes to live inside you, and if you've accepted Christ recently, and I've prayed with a few of you lately, God actually came to live inside of you. So you may have at one time thought that God was way up there, you're way down here, and you're basically waving at him, hello, I hope you know where I am, who I am. He actually came to live inside of you when you asked him to come into your life. Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. All right. So when he did that, your motivation should change, okay? Something in you should have changed to where all of a sudden you see things differently than you did before. So this doesn't mean that you're going to always act in the best interest of other people. Always come to the aid of other people. Always put them first. That doesn't mean that, although you should have the want to inside of you. What I'm saying is we all blow it sometimes, but you should have that want to inside you, okay? It's a battle with that inner man, that natural man, the flesh, as the Bible says. So it's that battle. But it's a battle that through Christ we can win. So it's a challenge every day of our lives. And I can tell you from experience that really the more that you endeavor to put other people before yourself, the better you're going to get at it. And I got a long way to go. If you knew where I started, then you'd really think, wow. Because I started so bad. I started so prideful. It wasn't more than a couple of months ago. My wife and I have been married for 33 years. And she told me just a couple of months ago, she looked at me with this funny look and she goes, you know, I never knew you had so much pride. Well, it's a fact. But I'm working on it. I got the want to. I got the want to inside me. Well, you know, whether it's helping somebody find a seat in church, maybe that's something you see somebody kind of not sure what to do, as an usher or even just as anybody here. Directing a new family when they look lost, you know, that happens. When I do get the opportunity to be out in the foyer before a service, if I'm not doing a bunch of other stuff, then I'm always looking for that. And maybe you could too. If you see a family come in or whatever, and they're kind of looking around like they've never been here before, you can kind of tell pretty quick. And especially if they got kids, you know, just walk up and say, hey, introduce yourself and, help them out. You know, are you new today? You know, if you're nervous about saying that, this is completely off topic. So there's a lot of different things that I've learned as far as new people, because you can get nervous about this, you know, and I'm one of the pastors, so, you know, if somebody's been coming here a long time and I blow your name, I'm so sorry. or if I if I've met you, let's see, someone told me I had met them four times the other day. It's Alma. I don't know if she's here today. Anyway, I just called her out, called myself out. But there's ways to do it, you know. There's instead of just saying, "Are you new?" You know, there's you could say, "You know, hi, I'm so and so." You know, now if you think you might have met him before, this is one thing I do. I'll say, "Yeah, have I?" No, I don't say, "Have I met you before?" I say. You know, hi, how long have you been coming now? You know, and then that'll just kind of start it. And then I'll, as soon as I kind of get, okay. If you know you haven't met him, you can say, "Hey, I don't think I've met you before. You know, how long have you been coming?" You know, I'm just saying that there's ways to say it so that you don't just check out and go, "Oh, that's just way out of my comfort zone." There's ways to ask the question. That's all I'm saying. So don't throw yourself out of the equation. And so we're going to head back in. Here we go. You know, maybe it's allowing someone else to go before you in line at the grocery store or the department store or whatever it might be. Looking out for the other person. Don't always think about you being first. Maybe it's helping your neighbor haul sawdust when you actually need to do it at your house, but you're going to help your neighbor. Maybe it's sitting with a friend who's lost a loved one. Whatever it is, there's so many areas to help, opportunities to help and serve other people every single day. And it's the culture that we want to cultivate at Bethel Church, a servant culture where people want to help other people, where you lift up your head and you look around. You don't just get with the people you're getting with. And I don't care what your personality is. I really don't. I don't care, introvert, extrovert. I talk about this almost every time I'm up here because it doesn't matter. You can do this. All you got to do is you lift your head up and say, "Lord, help me out. Help me out. Is there somebody I can help today? Is there somebody that needs a word of encouragement?" And even just, you know, I'm just talking about coming into church. You know, there's always, always opportunities. So I want to say something to you that serving or helping others is not a burden. And especially when we're being ourselves, that's what I mentioned earlier, using the gifts that God has given us, the way that He wired you to help other people. And you're going to be able to serve the Lord with gladness, especially if you serve how He's wired you, okay? Now, as a lot of you know, I'm a music guy. I have been since I was a little kid. I can remember when I was really little, I had Tinker Toys, and I can remember listening to records and pounding on this box. And I should have been a drummer because I was really into it. And but I was as many of you, I was always a music guy, and I you know, of course, I went into pop music and rock music and that kind of a thing. That's what I really enjoyed. But God created me to be that, see? And I could have chosen something else. I could have chosen just to play in a band or something, and it would have been, you know, nothing wrong with that. It's a personal situation that you're in, what God wants to do with your life, okay, with you. And for some people, that may not be a good thing. But I could have done that. But when I asked God to lead my life, eventually, not right away, but eventually He led me back into how He wired me so that I could do something that's going to help somebody else. So then the music that I started to do was to help other people. And then it went from that to writing musicals and then Broadway-style musicals. And, you know, I never even thought of doing anything like that. I used to like Sound of Music and things like that, movies. But then I began to write things like that because It was the process of doing these things, and it was like, okay, let's get as many people as we can to get involved in this because it's going to help them. They're going to learn how to talk to other people, how to encourage other people through this process. They're going to learn, actually, how to grow spiritually because this is going to be a spiritual thing. And in the end, after this 3 or 4 month journey, people will be helped. And people will eventually come to Christ because of this endeavor. So I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. All I'm trying to say is that that's how God wired me. So he wired you in a different way. So how are you using those gifts? Okay. Now there's all kinds of skills, all kinds of personalities, all kinds of passions that are God-given, and it's awesome. So you might think, how do I know what to do, how to do it, where to help? Okay, so I've got a little test for you. Now, don't get blown away by the word test. Okay, this is your personal test. So here's what I want you to do. See, so many of these wonderful ladies have these notepads. Guys, you may not have a notepad, that's okay, but if you've got a phone that's got notes on it, if you've got an iPad that's got note that somewhere you can write notes, whatever, I want you to get that out. Get that out. I'll give you just a few seconds here. And this isn't anything you're going to show anybody else, okay? It's just you. Some of it's kind of personal, but we're going to find out a little bit about ourselves and then maybe what God might want to do through you that he hasn't done before, okay? And even if you've done this before, that's okay. Do it again. Just asking. Please, okay? Just asking. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So one of the reasons that God created you was to do good things. Everybody say good things. So good things in your life. Good things for other people. That's one of the reasons God created you. That's a good thought. Okay? That's a wonderful thought. That in God's sovereignty, all-knowing, all-seeing, big God, he actually thought about you and prepared good things for you to do. God has uniquely made you to do something for him. He not only wants us to enjoy a good life, he also wants us to do good things for him, and he wants us to do them in the way that he designed us, okay? So, I love this quote by Mark Batterson, one of my favorite authors. And just to say his name again, it should be up there, Mark Batterson. He's got lots of books, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, Circle Maker. He's one of my favorite authors. I think you'll really enjoy him. Uniqueness is God's gift to you. And uniqueness is your gift to God. You owe it to yourself to be yourself. But more important, you owe it to the one who designed you and destined you. It's funny, I think my grandson has a shirt on today that says, "Be yourself," or something like that. Good confirmation today. So how do you find out what God has prepared in advance for us to do? So number one, your first move is to pray. Okay, obviously, pray. But really, ask the Lord to help you. Okay? That's what prayer is just talking to the Lord. And he'll communicate with you. And you might say, well, I haven't had him communicate with me. Just relax a little, okay? He wants to talk with you. He wants that there's a still small voice, usually, is the way it works, and that when you spend time with him, and what I mean by that is just talking to him throughout the day. I mean, you don't have to say the words, you know, with your mouth so that people think you're loony, but anymore, I guess everybody's doing that because of Bluetooth and all of that, but there was a day. But no, just talk to the Lord and read a little bit of the Bible every day, just a little bit. And spend time with God. And in time, He'll communicate with you and you with him. So your first move is to pray and ask the Lord. Number two, identify things you do well. Okay, here's the beginning of our test here. So I want you to write down, what do you know how to do? What do you know how to do? What skills do you have? And you might, and think about this. What do other people say that you can do? And maybe sometimes when people say, oh, you're so good at this, you're so good at that, you know, you're so good at problem solving, or you're so good at making people feel welcome, or you're so good at correcting things, seeing error. You know, there's a lot of things that you could be good at. So just write down a few of those skills, okay? Because we all have them. We've all got skills in different areas. Okay. So number three is past experiences. This one might be a little bit harder for you. We all have past experiences. And one thing I've noticed over time is that the phrase, everybody's got a story, is so true. I mean, I mentioned a few weeks ago that we had 26 people, brand new people at Starting Point a couple months ago, and there's more new people since then. And everybody has got a story. I've spoken to a few of you. I mean, you got an amazing story. I just met with Teresa and I went and visited Woody Wickham, and he had an amazing story. You just never know. You know, you see somebody and you go, oh, I'm sure they've led a perfect life. I'm sure they've had no big bumps in the road. Everybody has got a story. So what's your story? What are your past experiences? And some of them might be tough, okay? Maybe you had an abusive situation. You know, that's hard. But many of you, if I had a raise of hands, I'm sure everybody would be shocked how many people have had this experience. So, but, you know, just tough things. Really, it's the good, bad, and the ugly. So it's, what past experiences have you had? Because God wants to use those experiences for you to help somebody else, okay? Now, the next thing is your passions. Do you feel sad when you think of the poor? These are just things. When children learn about Christ, are you joyful? Do you react with emotion when you see God's creation? Maybe that, like, it brings you to tears. Do you take lots of pictures? Are you always looking for moments to take photographs? I'm just thinking of things off the top of my head. You know, what makes you sad? What makes you angry? What brings you joy? What are your passions? You know, do you really not like seeing other people hurt? Does that really affect you? Loved ones, when you see your loved ones hurting, does it really affect you? What are your passions? Do you have a real passion for the church in terms of seeing people saved? Does that just give you just such joy? What are your passions in your life? What do you love? What really gets you going, okay? All right, so when you have these, especially these last three things that I mentioned, your past experiences, your passions. What was the first one? Testing you. What you do well, your skills, yeah. Okay. When you have these three things, what are some common themes that you might see in your answers? What are some common themes? All right, so then you're going to want to write down two or three of these things. Now, if you didn't get a chance to do it all and you're kind of thinking, wow, I need to kind of filter through this, I just want to encourage you to do it at home, okay? All right, so once you have some themes from these things, now what? So there's organized ways to help other people in the church, okay? You know, it's not just, you know, flying by the seat of your pants and, you know, helping here, helping there, helping everywhere. You know, that's a good thing. That's an awesome thing. But there's also organized ways. So I'm just going to throw some things out here. You know, we got children's ministries. We heard from Pastor Ben last week. Pre-K through fifth grade. They have needs in Promised Land. There's Wednesday nights in Royal Rangers, Girls Club, Promised Land on Wednesday nights for the little kids. There's special events that they need help with. There's student ministries, Pastor BJ. There's hospitality ministries. You know, you've got ushers and greeters, that's Kayla. And there's men's ministries, women's ministries. There's cooking meals for people in need. There's Steve and Terry Moore have their own ministry, working with the homeless. There's more tech kinds of things like audio, video. There's social media. We do a lot of social media posts, that kind of thing, that we can use more help with. You know, there's worship, creative arts. They just had a couple of tryouts for Christmas. If you missed it, I don't want to speak for them because maybe they feel like they're all done. But talk to Val Coleman or to Kayla Jackson there. There's positions to serve in the church office. There's, weekly or occasionally for a few hours to help with various projects. You probably never even thought of that, and you got a lot of free time. You know, there's cutting, stapling, folding booklets, organizing. I mean, people do that. You know, people really do that. Like, you like your bulletin, somebody has to fold that, you know. So there's things that you can do, a lot of different things. There's answering phones in the office, talking to people. So what's your next step? You know, there's all kinds of ways to get involved in the church. And, ask somebody who already serves in that area. Ask the leader of that ministry. Check the church website for ideas, for things to do. Email the church office. Okay, so if you're somebody that is really shy and you're like, I'm just so shy, I don't think I can talk to a ministry leader. Or I'm not sure who that ministry leader is. I might want to cook a meal for somebody, but I don't know who to talk to. Okay. This info at medfordbethel.com. It's just simple. It's an email address. And just be honest and say, I'd like to help in this area, but I don't know who to talk to. They will get your information to the appropriate person, okay? And so, you know, there's a secret formula of serving, of serving success or helping success, and here it is. Here it is. There it is. Leader name. So if somebody is on staff, then they have a Bethel email address. Okay. So a leader's name at medfordbethel.com. I guarantee you, even if you get a hold of the wrong person, that person will get your information to the right person. So whether it's community life, it'd be Kayla at medfordbethel.com. At creative arts, it'd be Valerie at medfordbethel.com. If it's kids, it'd be Pastor Ben at medfordbethel.com. If it's student ministries, it'd be Pastor BJ at... Oh, man, that sounded like farmersonly.com. Pretty good. All right, pretty good. I don't know where that came from. Okay, so there's a pattern here, yes. So if I get the worship team to come on up, we're going to close here pretty soon. Now, I've talked kind of some how-tos about getting involved, that kind of thing, because we all need to get involved. You might have come here a long time. You enjoy the church services, in my opinion. And I've thought this for a long time. We have the best church services around. But that's only for a couple of hours, you know? And there's much more to the church than that. And I want to encourage you to get involved. And like I say, there's all different ways. We want to do everything we can to help you to do that. And you might think, well, I've been there and done that. Please don't think that. I hope I never start thinking like that. I mean, maybe there's a certain ministry that you did a lot and you don't want to do anymore, but there's still more you can do. And it all gets down deep to helping somebody else. That really is what it's about. Getting that want to in you that says, I want to help somebody else. And, you know, things happen when we're going to church a lot. I mean, hey, we got all kinds of different people in here. And I mean all different kinds, because I know you. And there's a lot of different personality types. And there's not one that's better than another. It's just different, you know. And when you know this many people, when you're around this many people, as I talked a few weeks ago, there's times when somebody might rub you the wrong way, say something you don't like, whatever. I just want to encourage you, keep your heart soft, forgive easily, because then if you don't forgive easily, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to weigh you down. Not them. It's going to weigh you down. Forgive easily. Just keep praying for people. And if you think, well, I've kind of been hurt, I don't want to get involved, I started to get involved, and then Pastor Roger ignored me. Sorry. I really didn't mean to. Yes, Randy told me earlier today that I ignored him when he drove by and tried to honk his horn, and he couldn't get it to honk. So, hey, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. So I want to encourage you. Get involved. Get involved. One last thing. It's my last message for this summer. Now, next week, it's our general superintendent of our denomination. And if that means something to you, it's actually kind of a big deal. It's not often that we would get the head guy over the entire country to come. I've heard that he's a very down-to-earth guy, and I love that. His name's Doug Clay. He's here next week. And Pastor Tim is coming back next week after almost, actually, 4 months of being gone. And we spent quite a bit of time together lately. He's excited to come back, and he really is. He's such a great guy. It's like I hadn't seen him, you know, very much, and I was just so reminded of how down-to-earth he is. And he's so encouraging. That's just how he is. But it's been an honor and a privilege to serve you in this sort of interim time as your lead pastor. It's been awesome. It's been challenging. It's been interesting. And I've learned a lot. And if I've done anything, I hope that with the help of our incredible staff, our pastors, directors, lay leaders, other staff members, it's all been a team to have this incredible summer. But I want you to be encouraged about the church. If there's one thing, it's to be encouraged about the church, that we're all in this together, and together we can have a life that helps other people and that makes a difference and an effect on our world. United in purpose, a heart to love one another through it all, and to serve one another. And there's a world out there that's crying for help. It really is. It's a world ready to open up the door, as John Lennon said. You may not think so sometimes, but they are. A whole lot of people need help. And as Christ followers, we are able to help. So as they're ready to open up the door, you may be just the person to walk through that door and to help somebody else.